California. We're now going to cross over to another guest joining us from Berkeley, Mr. Ralph Schoenemann. Mr. Schoenemann, welcome to the program. Let's jump right in. Do you see the murder of Trayvon Martin and the subsequent acquittal of George Zimmerman a big example of racial bias?
And it's very hard and center. After all, the black male youth are an endangered species in the United States. One has to understand that in the inner cities of the United States, unemployment rates amongst black male youth are 60% and 70%. You have the criminalization of poverty across this country, and particularly in regions of the United States, such as Florida, where you have this culture of violence on behalf of those who are effectively stalking black people on a permanent basis. Who is George Zimmerman? He is a person who is effectively a vigilante. He is not a policeman. He is participating in the stalking of people in communities, and he does so with a loaded weapon. And the circumstances that pertain to the murder of Trayvon Martin are classic in this regard. This is a young black boy, 16 years and 3 weeks, who is in his own environment, in his own home. He is returning to his house having bought something at a store, and he is stalked. He is stalked by this person, profiled and stalked by a man who is carrying a loaded weapon and who, in fact, routinely does this, routinely persecutes and seeks out young black men who he can track and trace carrying a loaded weapon. In the particular circumstances here, George Zimmerman was stalking young Trayvon Martin, and he called in with his typical comments that these young punks, and he used the profane language, always get away with things, and he's going after him. And he was instructed on the telephone by the police telephone, don't go there. You have no need to follow him. He was instructed deliberately to do this, but he defied that, and he continued with an armed weapon tracking this young man. In any place in the world, this is he is the person who is stalking with a loaded weapon and then shoots the person dead. For this to be called self-defense turns reality on its head. So the racism is implicit and the racism is abundant. We only have to ask this question. You had a jury of six women. Was there a black woman on the jury? Was there a black man on the jury? Was there anyone from the community that is constantly targeted in this way on the jury? Someone who would know from their lived experience that blacks are a constant target of racism and police violence, let alone vigilantes like Zimmerman. The case reeks of classic persecution and prosecution of young black youth with abandon. So the racism is abundant. The racism is rooted in the exploitation of the poor and the disadvantaged in the United States, which is the heart of the capitalist system.
Mr. Schoenemann, many observers of the situation see the judicial system as being flawed in more ways than one. One of the main slogans that has been chanted by the demonstrators is, quote unquote, the system is flawed and the whole system killed Trayvon Martin. Do you agree with that statement?
Well, of course. I mean, as I say, black youth are an endangered species in the United States. They are shot down routinely by police. They are targeted and tracked by police and by vigilantes like George Zimmerman on a continuing basis. This is because of the reality that the conditions of the black population in the inner cities of the United States is one of enormous exploitation, fueled by racism. As I say, unemployment amongst black male youth in the inner cities reaches 60% and 70%. The population in the United States is essentially the black population is policed by an occupying army that randomly and routinely uses violence against black youth with impunity. It's an everyday event. The demonstrations in Oakland, California, for example, in defense of Trayvon Martin, echo the fate of Oscar Grant, a young black youth who was gunned down at in the transport system, the BART system in Oakland, an everyday and routine event. The murder of Trayvon Martin is a classic example of routine persecution and hunting of black male youth. It's part of the racism and the class exploitation in the United States. And the justice system, as you call it, is reflective of this racism in the fact that there was not a single black on the jury. This was not a jury of the peers of the victim, Trayvon Martin. This was a jury selected from the population that is without the experience or the sympathy or the empathy or the recognition of what is the routine condition and fate of black youth in the United States. To have a jury that does not have anyone on it who has a lived experience of what happens to black youth is to predetermine the outcome of this so-called trial.
Another side of this issue that also has been sparking a lot of debate is the issue of gun control. Now, George Zimmerman was a volunteer neighborhood watchman. You described him as being a vigilante, but he was armed with a lethal weapon, and ultimately he did use that lethal weapon to end the life of an unarmed teenager. Now, what is it going to take for people, not just for people, but for Washington, for the United States, for the administration, to take a look, to take a deeper look at the issue of gun control? How many Columbines in Sandy Hook elementary schools, and in this case, Trayvon Martin's, will it take to get more adequate gun control, or even bring the issue to the fore?
Well, in fact, the issue of gun control is barely touches the reality of the situation, because the utilization of guns, which are handed out and sold and profiteered upon with the population that is arming itself, the population that arms itself is a population that is tracking and hunting the poor and the black population on a routine basis. The use of you mentioned a series of events that in which there are these shootouts in schools and in various situations. Whenever you look at this, the hand of the police and the authorities is heavily involved. Many of the people who are in fact blamed or arrested for these events are what we call Manchurian candidates. They're people who have a history with in the hands of the federal authorities. They're people who have been subject to mind-altering circumstances under the CIA's MKUltra program. It's a terrorizing of the American population. And it is, in fact, a process which allows the state to assume the ultimate authority over people, arresting them at random, passing legislation such as the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows the authorities to pick up anybody who they consider to be threatening national security, as defined by the state, to disappear them, to without the right to counsel or trial. It is the architecture of the fascist state that this random violence with the guns in the hands of those who track the poor and the victim is the daily event in this country. It's not just the fact that the police do this, it's that they have encouraged a vigilante population that is under various state laws, such as stand your ground. People are encouraged to carry weapons, and if they in any way feel threatened by someone, they are entitled to use those weapons and to call it self-defense. The classic example is the Trayvon Martin case. The person who is carrying the weapon, who is stalking Trayvon Martin and shoots him dead, is found not guilty on the grounds of self-defense, because the victim who is pursued attempts to confront the person who's pursuing him and is shot dead for the effort.
Right.
This is an example of a police state in practice and the victimization of the poor and the disadvantaged as its predicate.
Mr. Schoenman, Trayvon Martin is now gone. George Zimmerman has been acquitted. He's free to walk. Protesters say that the system has failed. Many guests, such as yourself, that we've spoken to here on Press TV, think that racial bias resulted in the acquittal of George Zimmerman. All in all, if you had one message to give to the Martin family, what would you say?
I would say to the to the Martin family that they as they are as no one has to tell them or explain to them that that they are targeted by this system, that they are the victims of racial injustice, that they are targeted as black working people in the United States on a routine basis, that the response to this must be mobilization of the many for removal of this system of persecution and exploitation by a tiny little oligarchy, less than 1% of the population of the United States, commands the apparatus of the state and imposes these conditions on the mass of those who are most oppressed in this country. You have 45% of children living in poverty in the United States. Those are the underlying politics that lead to the persecution and the murder routinely of black male youth on a routine basis. The parents of Trayvon Martin don't need you and me to explain to them what is their lived experience. And that is the fundamental point at issue here. In the absence of a black woman or man on that jury, someone who from lived experience knows that what happened to Trayvon Martin is not a random event, but an everyday event. Someone who will understand immediately the meaning of George Zimmerman armed in person and stalking a black teenager with malice intent, with having gone on record as stating that he is intending to pursue this person and doing it in the face of even the police telling him not to do so. That can occur, and then perpetrator of the violence, let off as not guilty on the grounds of defending himself, turns reality on its head. The Trayvon Martin family knows that reality better than you and I, and they have to mobilize with the many to overturn this system, which is perpetrating this injustice on a daily basis.
Okay, thank you very much. Political commentator Mr. Ralph Shulman joining us on the line from Berkeley.